says you forgave her. Do you forgive me? We are closer than the one who grabbed your robe on the street as you healed her. As you heal me, we are closer than the 12 in the upper room. Closer than the women at the empty tomb. Closer than Thomas with his hand in your scars. Closer than John with his head on your heart.
Welcome to the Encounter Jesus podcast, also known as the Feel Like Jesus is Hugging You Today podcast. I'm Elizabeth Ellenshaw, and we've been talking about a woman, Mary of Bethany, who was always found at the feet of Jesus. In the last three episodes, I've shared about themes from this moment in her life that have been very significant in my own life. The way she had a special, consistent place in relation to Jesus and was always found at his feet. The way she had the courage to overcome the fear of man and the need to be a people pleaser and become satisfied with just being a Jesus pleaser. And the way she stepped over the limits her religious culture placed on women in order to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his words. She met Jesus in her favorite place at his feet. Jesus stood up for her courageous choice. And when he did, she let the approval of Jesus be enough for her. Mary made a choice that pleased Jesus. It pleased him so much that he seems to recommend to all the rest of us that we make the same choice. When Jesus said to Martha, "Mary has chosen the best portion and it will not be taken from her," it sounds to me like he was recommending her choice not only to her exhausted, frazzled sister Martha, but also to all of us for all time to come. But how exactly do I choose what Mary chose? How do I choose to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his words? Jesus is not physically in my living room the way he was in Mary's living room that day. So I can't go in and physically sit there at his physical feet and physically listen to his physically spoken words the way she did. So what does it look like now to listen to Jesus, now that Jesus has gone back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to pull alongside us in his place? How do I make the equivalent decision to Mary's, the one Jesus said was the best choice she could ever make? So another major theme in my life that Mary's story has been a part of has been asking and answering the question, how does Jesus want me to listen to him? Lord Jesus, you were so pleased with this courageous woman who dared to listen to you. We want to please you like that too. So help us to step over every obstacle, every attack, every fear that would ever stand between us and being a people who listen to your voice. I pray for every person who's listening to this right now that if there is any way in which they have become afraid to listen to your voice, I pray that they would be like Mary today and come and sit at your feet and dare to listen to you again. In Jesus' name, amen. In my book, I tell the story of how I became like Mary of Bethany, a girl who listens to Jesus. I had a lot to overcome to get to that point. A lot of fear, a lot of misconceptions. And as I tell in the story in my book, there were enemies who tried really, really hard to scare me away from choosing the best portion. They tried really hard to take it from me. But there is also Jesus, who stands there to defend us and says, "You made the right choice to dare to listen to me, to dare to try to hear my voice, and it will never be taken from you." And all we have to do is believe him and dare to listen to him again. So listening to Jesus became the most important part of my life, the thing I started to build my whole life on. So I'd like to share a few lessons I personally have experienced in trying to figure out, what does it look like for me to make that choice Mary made that made Jesus so happy? First of all, I learned that I needed to let Jesus decide how he is going to speak to me. I describe in my book how I had friends all up and down the spectrum of what they believed about what listening to Jesus' words today looks like. Some said that all the words Jesus will ever want to say to us have been recorded in the Bible. So the only way we can or should sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his words, like Mary, is by listening to God speak through the Bible. Certainly, the words and works of Jesus on the earth were recorded in the Bible, just like this very story of Mary in Bethany that we're talking about was. And certainly, the Holy Spirit does speak to us through them. The Bible also tells me the story I'm living in, the story of the one true God who created the world and then sent his Son to save it and then poured out his Holy Spirit on all who believe in his Son. When I listen to Jesus by the Holy Spirit in my heart, I'm listening to that Jesus, the one who was born to a virgin, died for my sins, rose from the dead, went up to his Father's right hand, and poured out the Holy Spirit on us, as recorded in the Bible. This is the true story we are living in. But I also had to learn that just reading the Bible alone and being proud of my book knowledge was not automatically the same thing as choosing the best portion, sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him. As I wrestled with the role of the written word and the role of the Holy Spirit, I had a Bible college teacher who was concerned about what I was telling her I believed. She slid open her desk drawer, pulled out a beautiful, colorful little ESV pocket Bible that she kept there for her personal use, lifted it with one hand into the air above her head and said, "Elizabeth, this book is not God. And God is not this book." And I still remember that moment because I thought she was speaking blasphemy, and that God might strike her with lightning from heaven as she stood there with that Bible lifted over her head, because she was trying to separate the person of God from the book of the Bible. And while of course I knew that God was not a small leather-bound book, if God could only ever be known, experienced, heard from, or related to through that book, what was the difference? The most extreme Bible-only sources in my life said, if you claim to have any experience of God communicating with you or relating to you that does not come through the words contained in the Bible, even if you feel like God is making one Bible verse jump out at you more than any other verse, you are adding to the scripture. And adding to the scripture is something God has cursed. I expected God's curse to fall on my teacher that day for implying that God could be experienced in a way more than the Bible could be experienced. I shake my head over that memory now, because now I understand that I was the one idolizing the Bible and making it equal with God himself. But he didn't strike me with lightning either. He was so gentle and so patient and so excited and eager for me to come like Mary at his feet and listen to what his spirit had to say. At the same time, I had friends on the far other end of the spectrum too. They would have emphasized the biblical truth that the same Jesus who spoke in the Bible had given us his Holy Spirit to pull alongside us as the Parakletos. And they believed the Holy Spirit pulls alongside us in such a way that he can and does speak to us in our minds and hearts constantly, ceaselessly, about every moment, every decision, every choice in our lives. But I didn't get clarity for myself on what to believe about that until I came to the realization that Jesus is Lord, the boss and the master. And so Jesus, as my Lord, gets to decide how he wants to talk to me. I don't get to choose the way I think he should communicate. He does. He knows best. And I told him I committed to obey him as my Lord whenever he got through to me that he was trying to tell me something. Whether he did it through the Bible, or his voice in my head, or his people in my life, or his nudge in my spirit, or even any dreams, angels, visions, or more dramatic ways he wants to speak. If I knew it was him, I would obey. I hadn't done a very good job of perfect obedience by any means. But that decision, Jesus is Lord, even over how my Lord speaks, not my feelings, not my desires, not my fears, not my understanding of the Bible, not what I want to be true, but the real living Lord Jesus of the Bible, however he chooses to communicate. That brought clarity to my confusion, and it enabled me to start hearing him and receiving all he'd been wanting to give me. So that was the first lesson. And secondly, I learned the hard way that the enemy is afraid of the lifestyle of listening to Jesus that Jesus called the best portion. The enemy knows how powerful and valuable it is when we listen to Jesus. And since Jesus said it will not be taken from us, the only way the enemy can try to get us away from it is by tempting us to get scared and stop choosing it. So he tries to do that because he's afraid. He tempts us with thoughts of, God won't speak to you. Maybe everybody else can hear God, but not you. He tempts us with fears. If you listen to God speak to you personally, he'll tell you to go to China. He'll tell you to go to Africa. He'll tell you to go to India. He'll tell you to walk down the street naked or give your children up for adoption or whatever you'll find terrifying. God will say that. He tempts us with thoughts of, look at the mess these other people made who were wrong, but they thought they were hearing from God. It's not worth the risk. He tempts us with thoughts of, what will other people think if you try to listen to God speaking to you and obey him? Even worse, what will other people think if you get it wrong? And then when we do take a risk and we do make a mistake or get confused or hear wrong or just seem to have heard wrong, he tempts us to despair with, "Now you can never hear God again. You can't even ask God what he wants to say to comfort you or help you about that mistake you just made, because that one mistake means that you hear God wrong about everything." And when we hear God right, when we're hearing God speak to us, the enemy loves to sit there saying, "That probably wasn't God. That was probably just you. Probably just you. Probably just you." After all, the very first words out of his mouth in his first appearance in the Bible were, "Did God really say?" Anything to mess up the relationship where God really did say, and we really do obey, and we all live happily ever after. I am so glad that Jesus came and he squashed that thing. His head is flat as a pancake now. Why do we listen to him anymore? Because Jesus was sitting in Mary's living room talking, whether Mary came in and listened to him or not. But if she did come in and listen, Jesus would never let anyone or anything drag her away. And if she let herself get tempted away, all she had to do was come back and listen again. And Jesus is speaking now, whether or not we are listening. And if we dare to just step over the squashed snake and listen to whatever Jesus wants to say to us, we will hear him. And if we get scared away, all we have to do is repent and listen again. And if we make a mistake, we can come back to Jesus, whose blood washes away all mistakes, and listen again. Just listen again. Just listen again. If there is any reason right now that you are afraid to listen to Jesus, I recommend with my whole heart that you ask him about it. Tell Jesus the truth about what you are really afraid of and why. And then ask him what he wants you to know about that. Submit to him about how he will speak to you. Trust him about what your life will look like if you become a disciple who listens to him and does whatever he says. Mary had no regrets that she listened to Jesus, even though her life had plenty of surprising and painful plot twists, as we'll see shortly. I have no regrets that I listened to Jesus. If you get down on your knees at the feet of Jesus in your heart and say, "Lord, what do you want to say to me about how you want to communicate with me? What do you want me to know? And what do you want me to do? If you get through to me, I will listen and obey you." Then you will experience your best possible life. Jesus is the answer. Let's start asking him the questions. Today I invite you, like Mary of Bethany, to just come to Jesus and listen. Imagine stepping into a room where Jesus is sitting and teaching. Imagine sitting at his feet, laying your head down at his knee, looking up at him adoringly. And listen. What is he saying? And I invite you to approach the Bible that way too. Whenever you read it, you can imagine coming like Mary to sit at Jesus' feet and listen. And you can ask, what is Jesus talking about? What is he saying? Who was he talking to when I walked in and started listening? And what was he saying to them? And what can I learn about him from it? And then, when he looks up at me and sees that I'm here too, what is he saying about it to me?
Closer than John with his head on your heart, because I am inside of you and you are inside of me.